Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Dream Big listeners. Boy, we got a doozy for you today, let me tell you. And actually, it's really coming from, I don't want to say a selfish place, but it was things that I've been dealing with lately, and I feel, and I pretty much know, that if I'm feeling it, some of you out there could be feeling it too. And so why not talk about it from, you know, a first person's perspective? I love doing that because then I get these emails from fans and listeners that say, oh my God, you hit it on the head. That's what I was going through this week. So for anyone who's ever dealt with rejection, which I think all of us have in one form, way, shape, or another, this is the show for you today. You know, in the business that I'm in as a musician, you know, we all joke. And now after talking to my dear friend, Liz Tupling, who is going to be joining us today, I realized that I have to stop saying this. So musicians always say, you know, we're so used to rejection. Well, we need to change that. Like, okay, I've been in this business 25 years and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I shouldn't be saying that. And I shouldn't be saying that to my musician friends either. So I am so glad that Liz is able to join us today to give us a little, not a little, but a lot of perspective on rejection, why we fear it, why we have it, what does it mean for us, and how can we change our minds and our thought patterns so that we don't, one, attract it, or if we have it, how do we deal with it in a new way? How you doing, Liz? Good to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me back, Jill. Love spending time with you.
Me too. It's fun. All right. So, you know, we talked about my little situation where I was obsessing about this gig that I wanted.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting it. And I was like, I knew in my mind that it wasn't right for me to keep going over and over and over again. But it was like this cycle that I couldn't get out of. One, why do you think I held on to it so much when my whole life was in front of me? My whole life was going on, but I just, and my life was great, but I kept holding on to this one thing that was rejecting me. I mean, why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we torture ourselves like that, for one? Why do we get obsessed?
Well, I think, Jill, what happens is that we grab a hold of a very, what I call a fixed point of view that says things have to be a certain way. And if they're not a certain way, then I can't control them. Right. So it is a little bit about, maybe a lot about, control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're big on intention setting and holding on to a vision and creating vision. But sometimes where we fall off the grid a little bit, or maybe we could open up a little bit more, is to realize that, yeah, it's great to hold on to intention and to be in intention and to have vision. But it's also great to just be in the space of allowing what isn't working. Okay, so can we be in allowance of what is not working? What is not happening? Can we be in allowance of doors closing?
And when we do, okay, so, but does that throw out, I know we talk about intention, and I always set intentions. I always, you know, I had, and it's funny that you said that, because this gig that I'm talking about, I literally had the intention on my intention board, you know, and I could see it on my visual, you know, every day I saw it. So, and then after you and I had a discussion about it, I actually took it off the vision board and I threw it away. But I threw it away with like love. I know that might sound corny, but I was like, okay, the reason I was feeling, and you're right, so much of it is about control. Like, this is not going according to my plan. Yeah. Like, what the heck? It's so simple. It seems like this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing that's supposed to happen to me. And so once I took it off my board and like kind of just put it in the garbage, but not like, you know, with anger and not with, I don't know, feeling resentment, then I felt more at peace with it too. When we have doors that close, I think, especially, I don't want to say just in the arts, I guess with everybody, right? When the doors close, you know, how do you, what would you recommend for people not to feel less than, for people not to feel hurt, for people not to, I mean, should we acknowledge our feelings or just, you know, try to be these strong ass people, excuse my language, and just like, oh, nope, that was supposed to happen. I mean, sometimes it just hurts though when you don't get what you want.
Well, sure. And it does hurt. And especially if you've been holding on to an idea for quite a while and, you know, and then it doesn't come to fruition. You've got a hope, a wish, a dream, and it just doesn't happen. You know, I don't suggest that people dismiss the hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe move through it, grieve it.
Right.
But alongside the moving through it and the grieving is the letting go. Mm-hmm. And whenever we let go, we have to remember that we're creating space for something different, perhaps even better than what our original intention and vision was.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. Feel it. Be in it. You know, move through it. Allow it to move through you. Be an allowance of it all because it does hurt. Yeah. You know, we're human, right? So we feel this stuff. And we can't negate the fact that we have a reaction to a door closing. But once we get through, you know, whether you want to host your own little pity party, whether or not you invite all your friends or you just be the main guest of honor, whatever your deal is, okay, just be in it. Mm-hmm. And be, but when you're done with that, when you're done with wiping your tears and gulping through it and, you know, stand back and say, okay, I'm handing all this over. Okay. And trusting that there is another door that will open. That one wasn't meant to.
Right.
That one had to close because whatever your belief system is, whoever you feel is at the head of your ship, yourself and a higher authority, whatever you want to call it. But being in the space of just trusting that it didn't happen for a reason is really going to allow you to go into flow.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you
flow
go.
Is ease.
You know,
and ease
and it's so
is,
true.
Is freaking nice, people.
It like, is. And that's
is,
what happens.
Ease is beautiful.
When you told me to let go of it, I mean, you know, we had a long discussion about it, but in regard to after our conversation, there was so much light in my heart. And it was like, and you know, you kind of want to go, duh, you know, like, oh my God, you know, like,
how was I thinking?
Why was I beating myself up and keeping myself, you know, and trying to find different ways to make this work? You know, there is. And I think that that was a great reminder for me that after we went through our little process, that it was like back to what you've always, you know, said to me before, is it light or heavy? So, you know, if it's still feeling heavy and I'm not getting what I want, why do I sit in it? So it's like, get up and get out.
Because we love the struggle, Jill. We love the struggle. Everything. There is something so cool about the struggle. And the reason why the struggle can get fun for people, and I'm being facetious, but mm-hmm. we all do it, is because we have become addicted to the chemicals that our brain produces while we're in struggle.
Oh my God.
Okay. So when we're in struggle, there's a lot of adrenaline, there's epinephrine, norepinephrine, you name it, every cortisol.
Oh my
And
gosh.
As much as all that stuff sounds really toxic and yucky, apparently we all love it.
Yeah.
We all thrive on it. So that addiction to those chemicals that naturally surface during struggle, that's what's keeping us in it.
Oh,
so we can,
God. Like,
when you can tap into that stuff and go, are you freaking kidding me? I don't need this crap anymore.
Right.
Ease, light, heavy. Is it easy? Is it not easy? Mm-hmm. Sure, you're going to have to put in some time and work and energy. But this notion that it all has to almost kill you before you get there, what's the point of that?
Right. I've always said that even to Dream Big clients, like we, and I think I even said it in we did a music video live and it was one of the things that I talked about even in like, I was rapping kind of thing. Remy would have been proud of me, but, you know, basically that we always think everything should be so hard. Like, where did that come from and why and who started it? I mean, we've had this conversation before on Dream Big, you know, but it doesn't have to be hard. And so even this morning or last night, I was kind of going through something and it was just, I do want to ask you about this. And this is probably a scientific question. I'm not sure. But when you're sleeping and in the middle of the night, and I know so many of my Dream Big listeners, this happens too, where you have like one negative thought and just keeps going over and over again. Do you have a quick fix for that? And why does it happen? Why do we have this like one thought that's obsessing us and keeping us awake? How can you like turn that baby off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I recommend to folks when they're in a loop, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because so the I would say kind of the fallacy is that being in the loop is going to help solve it. Right. So, right. Just
That's
even me
laughing.
Saying that, even the words coming out of my mouth, we all sit back and kind of go, and how ridiculous is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So being in the loop is going to solve it. No. Okay. But being in question can help you get out of the loop. So go into question at that point in time.
So give me an example.
It's the 3 a.m. question. What other thoughts can I choose mm-hmm. right now?
Awesome.
What other way can I be right now?
Mm-hmm.
What other place could me and my body be right now?
Very good.
That is light for yeah. me. So in going into question is going to shift you away from the tape and the loop that you were in all at 3 a.m.
Love it.
So step out of that and go right into question. You don't even need to know the answer.
Just go to the question.
That's the easy peasy part of all this. Go into the question. The question is the distraction. But you know what the question does? It opens you up to possibility. Question will always open up you up to possibility.
Beautiful.
You don't need to even have it figured out.
Right.
That's
right.
The beauty of question.
That is awesome.
Because guess what? You ask enough questions and over time, guess what appears? The questions through your own awareness because you had the guts at 3 a.m. to ask the question.
Right. Love it.
Hopefully.
Well, that'll give me something to do.
Yeah. Sit up and start asking questions, man.
Oh, it's usually between 2 and 4. You know, it's like that's when everything seeps in. So getting back to rejection. Mm-hmm. When I know a lot of times, and that's happened for me, where you go into something assuming you're going to be rejected. I mean, I don't know how many people do that, but in my career, that's what you do. You have to go into these gigs or go into things where you think automatically you're going to be rejected, but you don't know for sure. And so we need to change that mm-hmm. mentality, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people do that, though. Even, for example, I'm going to, and hopefully my mother-in-law won't kill me on this one, but she turned 86 over the weekend.
God bless.
And, or actually yesterday. So, when we were up north and I said, listen, we're going to come by your house and we're going to celebrate your birthday. And she said, oh, well, I don't need you to do that. Well, we all know I could look right at her and know that that's not what she really meant. But I feel like it was her way of protecting herself from rejection by basically saying that she didn't need it anyway. Well, I just over the top. I brought her a crown. I bought her candles. Aww, we went
that's
crazy.
Beautiful.
And she started crying and she said, this means so much to me. I said, then why did you say it didn't? So that's what I'm saying with rejection. I feel like a lot of times people set themselves up so that they can save themselves from the rejection before it even happens. How can we break those patterns? And why do we do it besides obvious, I think, fear?
Mm-hmm.
But how many times a day does somebody stop themselves from doing something that they really want to do because they are afraid of the rejection in the first place? And a lot of times it's subconscious. They don't even know they're doing it.
Well, sure. Most of it is unconscious and most of it is coming from a place of fear, you know, mm-hmm. and so we're just trying to do the upfront damage control, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so and there that's tricky, though. That's a slippery slope because then there's a good chance we're going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because you're in a negative space, you've already gone to the foregone conclusion that it's a bust, it's over before it really even started.
Right.
So the place that you can actually start off and maybe even stay in is I'm going to check this out. I'm going to wander into that space. If it works, great. If it doesn't, there's something better for me.
Great.
If we go into it going, I got to brace myself because the poop's going to hit the fan and I'm going to be all ready for it when it all goes
right.
south. That's what most of us do unconsciously.
Most of us do unconsciously.
Yeah, but then what happens?
We get rejected.
We get rejected. And then we go into the story and the narrative. See, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And I knew that blah, blah. I mean, people do it with relationships all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
It shows up, you know, so I knew this wasn't going to work. Okay, well, you went into it.
I mean, poor husband, Roger. I mean, when I met him, he asked me for coffee. That was our first date. And I put my hand on my hip and I said, well, just so you know, I'm not going to change for you. What you see is what you get.
Oh, God,
and
Jill,
blah, blah, blah. And he looked at me and he goes, just asking you for coffee.
Yeah. And you were right there with the narrative in the story.
But I had already planned, listen, buddy, you know, yeah. And poor guy.
Which was an unconscious way of saying, like almost kind of front end loading some rejection right there.
Absolutely.
I'm going to pour out all of the stuff that you might just hate about me so that I can
away.
Run you off right now. So that if I can cut this off at the path, I don't have to deal with some rejection.
Absolutely.
And God bless Roger for sticking around for more.
I asked him why. He goes, I found it a challenge.
Of course he did. What a sweet
but, yeah.
man.
But see, that's what we do. And it's, you know, here I was all proud of myself. But when I look back now, I was like, man, you were pushing him so far away. You're lucky that he was strong enough to see that. Just like me
right.
seeing my mother-in-law saying she didn't want a birthday, you know, celebration or whatever. So, you know, I love the idea. Go ahead.
Well, there's a part two of this little thing that we do with self-fulfilling prophecies and setting up negative situations so that we can just stay in the story of always being rejected. And that is part two is, can you receive? Check in with yourself as to whether or not you're able to receive.
How do you do that?
You challenge your ass. You do it. You go into challenge. What are my challenges with receiving? Okay. Because if you go 12 layers below that question, most people will say, and they'll eventually get there and say, I can't receive because I worry that there's strings attached. Mm-hmm. If I take from people, can they control me? You'll find out the real reasons why people can't receive. But it is really, really difficult to set intention and go into vision and be in flow if you're also not willing to receive.
So why are people afraid to receive?
Again, strings attached. Will mm-hmm. you control me if I take it from you? Mm-hmm. What will you want from me if I take it from you?
So, I mean, how psychotic is this pattern? We feel out of control because we can't control the situation, but yet we are controlling the situation by rejecting it. Whoa, I think I need tequila on that one.
I mean, it's yeah, just I like think the room just spun.
I mean, when you think about it, that is just so much. So
it's messed up.
I mean, a lot of times, and I know this may sound cliche to the listeners in a sense, but it's probably a lot of learned behavior from childhood. Yes, no, or just experiences
oh, yeah. Yeah.
in the sense. Think like, and I'm not talking about blaming your parents or blaming this,
no,
but
no.
just
but
whatever the case may be.
Scripts,
right? Yeah.
Think about scripts. Think about like what your parents told you, what their parents told them, aunts, uncles, whoever your caregivers were, you know, and what was that old adage like, expect the worst. And
oh, yeah.
Like how many people were raised with that BS? Like,
oh, yeah.
Expect the worst and then you'll be pleasantly surprised. Are you kidding me? Expect the worst. You'll get the worst. You'll walk away pissed off.
Like so true, right?
How is that? How is
my
that
mom
going
used
to
when we used to cry? Hopefully she's not listening. But when we used to cry or something, she'd always hug us and go, don't worry. Nothing will be all right.
Seriously?
But I you know, she would make it a joke. But
really
when you think about it now, you're just like, oh my goodness, you know. So in a sense, it's like saying, okay, well then yeah. we got nothing to worry about because everything's going to be really
yeah.
bad.
So my little sacral yeah. chakra is shaking right now and I'm 4. And I'm wondering what the future will bring if I have one at this right. point. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mommy dearest.
No. We can't say that over the air.
Okay.
But it is, I mean, so this learned behavior, so the reason I'm kind of bringing all this up is to kind right. of bring awareness to the listeners so that they know that this isn't just like a face value thing. I mean, these things are learned and they're deep
yep.
and they're deep rooted. And you kind of have to kind of go, what's the word? Super truths on yourself.
Well, you know? And super true takes you right out of the story that you're used to recycling and bringing back around. And for a lot of people, it is a familial story. It's mm-hmm. some ancestral legacy of, well, we all struggled and we all went through tough times and we all had to get in the trenches and grit it out. And that's what you'll do too. And if you do that long enough, then you'll find happiness and success.
Right.
Okay, that's
and you're like,
yeah,
okay,
okay
no.
That sounds really fun and attractive and light.
And the thing is that I mean, I always, you know, I think having Dream Big clients has helped me so much too, is because I try to encourage, I don't use that word. I encourage
yep.
people to know that life is joy. I mean, it can be joy, but we have to choose it. And so because we're always in that fight or flight mode, or always feeling we're working hard towards something. Instead of saying working hard towards something, how about just living in it and enjoying it?
And choosing. And knowing that you can choose,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that, again, means challenging yourself, stepping outside the script, where most of us were raised to think that once you get locked into something, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's fairly stable and it's working well for you, then just do it.
Just stay with it. Don't challenge yourself.
Right. Don't step outside.
That's not going to work. Yeah. And so, you know, within that thought, I just had a thought and then it totally escaped me. But I believe too that we have these choices, right? And it seems almost like ritualistic to go to the negative first before the positive. So it's a workout. It's a true mental workout for the most part.
Yeah. And if you do the workout, it's like any kind of workout. If you exercise that muscle long enough, you'll actually develop strength, and you'll develop also an expansiveness of it,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't really go into contract. It might contract a little when you first start working that muscle,
right.
but eventually you'll stretch it, expand it, and it'll work for you on a completely different level. And that's what, you know, shifting thoughts and transforming and moving forward will allow you to do. So when you go into the muscle of question, asking yourself, how can I choose differently?
Mm-hmm.
What can I choose?
Right.
Right. And just do it consistently.
Regularly. Yeah.
Regularly. Again, even if you don't have the answer.
Right.
It will come into your awareness at some point. That's
it
a path to consciousness.
Even, you know, and I always encourage people to write in their journals. And I think this would be a wonderful exercise that I'm going to do too. I kind of do it anyway, but even this morning I put a journal entry and it was on my mind and it was negative thought. And I almost stopped myself from writing it because I felt like writing it was putting an intention out there, and I didn't want to do that. But the great thing was there was freedom in recognizing that I recognized that it was a negative thought.
So
you know what I mean?
You're in the awareness of the negative thought.
Right.
Cool.
You're in the awareness. You can say how you feel
yeah.
about it, and then you can choose to either sit in that thought for the rest of the day, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to choose a different path today and see what happens.
Yep.
You know, and then I felt lighter because of it. You know, so as far as choosing joy over negativity, choosing going into anything in regard to negative, I'm laughing because I know so many things that I'm up against this week, and I'm looking forward to challenging myself on not going into that same pattern of
right.
like negativity or fear. It's just fear of failure, I think, too.
So, you know, I'm a little bit aware of what you've got ahead of you this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, going into questions like, how can I show up to these experiences this week with total ease?
Right. Yeah.
That the question itself actually sets an intention and it shifts your energy over to the question.
Okay.
So you're not
repeat that again, just so everybody gets
okay,
it.
So,
let it sink in your brain.
Yes. Absorb, absorb, absorb. So how can I go into these experiences this week with total ease?
Mm-hmm.
Like that just felt light, even just coming out of my mouth. So it really sets the tone for, I don't need to struggle.
Right.
And I'm enough just showing up.
Yes. Yes.
I'm enough just showing up.
I absolutely love that. You know, I think so many times that we think we have to, I have this little angel book that I read, and it was funny. It was one of these things, you know, when a bunch of artists get together and we all have to do our own thing. I find what happens is we all try to figure out what the other one's going to do so we can kind of blend. And, you know, so just that safety net of, oh, well, if they're going to do that, I might do that, or vice versa, whatever. And the angel book read that you have to show your own colors. And
okay.
I thought that was such a beautiful statement. Like, if you're not showing your own colors, if you're not doing you, then your energy is lower. Because you're holding that energy down.
Right.
And so when you do that, then chances are the rejections might come in a way because you're not being truthful. You're not being truthful to yourself or the situation that has been handed to you. So why screw with the situation? Be yourself. You got the opportunity to do something. Then just do it and be truthful and see if the energy really works. You know, I know
and
it will.
And receive it.
Receive it. Yes, we keep I got to keep remembering.
So your mantra, I choose to receive.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to receive. And when you choose to receive, you have to give up a little bit of control, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That invisible thing that no one really has.
Right. But we all claim that we do.
Yes.
And it's very illusory, right?
Absolutely.
But we love it. We're addicted
to it. Don't we? Well, you know what? I can't thank you enough. I just love when you're on the show with me. And I know the listeners love you too. So where can they find you as far as your website goes?
Sure. MySoulGrowth, all one word, .com. Or you can shoot me an email at elizabeth@mysoulgrowth.com.
My soul growth. Get it, people? Get it?
My soul growth. Yes.
Well, I sure hope that your soul grew today on this show. And I know mine did, and I continually look forward to having it grow. You know, I think one of the hardest things in life is investing in yourself. But it is the most important thing to do is invest in yourself. So, you know, you dream big listeners, just go out there and invest in yourself. Don't forget to receive. Let's all receive. Have a great day. Look forward to seeing you, talking to you next week.